Welcome to Writing the Wrong Way. This is Jonathan Ball, and I am going to talk today about a movie called The Witch, and what the movie The Witch, the Robert Eggers movie, has to do with research, with actually doing research, why you would do research, what kinds of things to look for when you're doing research, and how to really take your research and build it into a story. The Witch is a brilliant example of how to utilize research. And I'm also going to get into sort of the shape of that story, how to would analyze the storytelling in The Witch. I'm going to get into a particular interpretation of The Witch, you know, give it some kind of movie critic analysis in that sense. And I'm going to get into some other possibilities for how The Witch could have been written and how it might be structured. And all this, I think, is a good lesson for you if you are a writer, whether you want to write screenwriting, projects, you know, you want to get into screenplays or be a screenwriter, or even if you're not interested in screenwriting, you want to write a novel, you want to write a short story, you just want to master that kind of storytelling and especially work in the horror genre. These are some great things to think about. The Witch is a great model. I will ruin The Witch for you, so be aware that, if you have not seen The Witch, you may want to listen to this episode later after watching The Witch. I highly recommend that you watch The Witch. It's a truly great movie. It is a film that is a great horror film, but also I think transcends in some ways the situation of being a horror film. And really, I think, could appeal to people who are not horror fans, although they may have a hard time stomaching certain parts of the film. So do check out The Witch, and do check out my analysis and discussion of The Witch. But, you know, just be aware that you may want to do it in that order. Now, without further ado, let's talk about The Witch. Which is just one of those movies that I regard as one of the great horror movies ever made. Certainly the best horror movie that I've seen in the last, you know, decade or two. It's not a perfect film, but it's pretty close. There are a lot of things to look at with The Witch. I think a few core things that are worth thinking about from a writer's perspective. One is simply the significance and importance, the value of doing research. Writers often, newer writers especially, often have this idea, it's a very wrong-headed idea, that in order to be original, they need to somehow detach from influence. This is actually precisely the opposite approach. To be original, you need to synthesize influences. So what is going to get you at a very original story, quote unquote original story, what's going to get you towards doing something that somebody else hasn't done is having a very complex set of influences. So there's a few levels of this, but a lot of them involve research. So, if you don't do research, and if you don't have a lot of influence to draw on, instead of being original, what you're going to do is you're going to actually think you're inventing things that other people have ground into the ground, like worn into the ground. You're going to be reproducing cliches you don't even know are cliches. You're going to, ironically, seem very influenced, too much so. You're going to seem like you're copying other people just because you don't know what there is out there. And you'll think you're coming up with great ideas that actually people in the genre that you're working in discarded years ago. It's just as a strange paradox of the writer's life and the process. You know, ideas sort of come to a writer usually in a form that is unworkable. And the development of the idea is often so much, usually that idea is like the tip of an iceberg. And everyone else sees that tip of the iceberg. You know, this is why you can often find scenarios in the culture where a lot of people are having the same idea. But what's below the surface? You know, what else, if you could dig down, if you go further and deeper into the idea, by pulling in influences, by doing research, by really looking at what other people have done with an idea like this, that's where you can really get some refinement and development. You can do something that the audience is going to understand as original, when really, you know, what you're doing is standing on the shoulders of giants, in a manner of speaking. So Eggers, as the writer and director here in The Witch, has done some really brilliant things. One of the real simple but brilliant things that he's done is he's done extensive research into witches. So he's taken a very worn idea that, you know, there were these witch trials, and there was, you know, this actual belief in witches that has, you know, these kind of Puritan you know, these kind of religious roots, not just Puritan, but had these religious roots. He's taken the area of New England, you know, where we had a lot of witch trials and other activity, a lot of supernatural belief surrounding witches. He's really dug deep into these things. And what he's focused on is those things in the research that were neglected by other writers. So Eggers has a really interesting take on the witch, because on one hand, like, look at the witch here and compare it to other witches in horror and in the horror genre, other horror story witches that you've seen. It's very unlike other witches in horror, but ironically, that's because it's more like actual witches in history. It's more like people's actual beliefs in, you know, this period around witches than it is like what we get in other horror stories, which is this sort of game of telephone where we've had one author repeat part a belief and then another author repeat that author's belief. You know, we've had this chain of influence that has come down and, you know, created the kind of cartoon version of witch that we have today. You know, the one that you dress up as in Halloween, like, that's the witch that you typically see in a lot of horror stories, because almost every horror story concerning a witch is not really referencing the old beliefs and superstitions about witches. They're actually referencing other horror stories about witches. But what Eggers has done, because he's done the research, because he's dug through all the other stories on witches, and he's compared, you know, other horror witches to, you know, these original religious beliefs and superstitions about witches, what he's actually done is presented a witch that's closer to the mold of a quote unquote true witch. And ironically, because horror has strayed so far from that, and horror stories are built on other horror stories, he's kind of gone back to the roots in a way, and he's created therefore a more original monster in many respects than, you know, other authors have managed to do. At the same time, he has a very modern take on these witches. He's really tying into a lot of feminist theory and feminist beliefs about, you know, what gender roles, the power dynamics that play out in gender roles. So he's looked at, or because of gender roles. So he's got this witch, which is a woman, right? It's a very gendered witch. He's tied it, he's kept it a monster, but he's also looking at the witch as a monster from the point of view of normality, of society. In a horror genre story, monsters always have a few qualities, right? You know, a horror monster always is abnormal. A horror monster always is transgressive. So it's abnormal, it's a thing that should not be, right? It's, in this case, you know, we've got the supernatural creature that's not normal. Most people aren't supernatural, et cetera. It's transgressive in the sense that it's doing things it should not do, right? Which is fly, they don't walk on the ground, which is, you know, eat babies rather than taking care, or they don't quite eat babies, but, you know, they kill babies rather than taking care of babies, right? You know, which is the more traditional, normal, motherly, like role for women in the society, particularly at the time, right? There's all these ways in which witches have, you know, made a pact with Satan, whereas, you know, a normal person would make a pact with God, right? Especially in this religious milieu. And then, of course, the other thing is the witch represents, like all good horror monsters, abnormal, transgressive, and they represent a fate worse than death. So for, you know, the religious cosmos here, the fate worse than death is to be damned, you know, to make the pact with Satan, to be damned, therefore. That's a fate worse than death. Now, what Eggers is very cleverly noticing is that a woman in the time period also occupies this monstrous position. From, in terms of the power and social dynamics of the time, women are abnormal, right? Normality is dictated by the male dominant figure in the patriarchal society. Normality is man. Women are abnormality. That's sort of how the society is structured at that period in many respects. Transgression. Again, women are thought of as being these weaker figures like Eve, you know, who takes the sin, or makes original sin, right? Women are seen as having this transgressive sin-like quality. Again, not having the sort of moral fiber that a man has. We've got this very patriarchal, gender-based, sexist set of ideas that surround women in the particular society and see women as an abnormal figures that need to be controlled, because if you just let them run wild and, you know, not give them rules, they'll, you know, align themselves with the devil, right? As of course, and then the fate worse than death. Well, it's worse than death to be a woman in some respects in this society. You're effectively living in an imprisoned situation, you could argue. Of course, women in the time period may not really feel this way. Men in the time period may not be consciously thinking these things. But there's this way which Eggers is looking at that position that a woman occupies culturally at that time, and seeing these interesting parallels between, of course, women and witches. And we, of course, see, you know, women and witches in many respects in the time period are these sort of weird, dark mirror inverses of what women are supposed to be. But already the woman occupies many of these roles. You push them to an extreme, you get a witch. And of course, the culture treats normal women like witches, often as we see in these Salem trials. Eggers is also noticing a lot of really interesting things in the literature that he's looking at. He's noticing that, what do people sell their souls for? Well, in the literature, it's, you know, simple things like, I want to have some butter. You know, I would like, the devil promised me he would clean the ashes out of the fireplace and I'd get a break. I wouldn't have to do it. You know, I wouldn't have to live like a slave for, you know, a day. Really pathetic reasons in many respects. You know, things we would look at today, and it's kind of hard to understand. Like, we think of someone selling their soul for, you know, power and money and fame and these things. But really, what Eggers is looking is like, well, when you do these witch trials, these people are claiming that they sold their souls for such simple, sad things as, you know, they just wanted somebody to pay attention to them. They wanted a pretty dress. They didn't necessarily want fame. They didn't necessarily want all the money in the world. They just wanted to try a strawberry. And he's isolating these really brilliant moments he's discovering in his research, and he's taking that set of ideas into developing this story. Now, when he actually develops the story, and we look at what he's done here, there's some really interesting moments to seize on, I think, as a writer. So one thing I think that's interesting to think about is the decision to show the witch early on. So we have this early scene in The Witch where, you know, the baby disappears and we don't know what's happened. And Thomasin doesn't know what's happened, you know. The family assumes some animals got them or something. Eventually, as the family's paranoia increases, they start to wonder, has somebody become a witch? Has, you know, somebody made a pact with the devil and so on? They start to wonder if, you know, this goat is really, you know, somehow harboring the devil or connected to the devil and so on. The family, by the way, as it's doing that, doesn't really have concrete evidence for this. They just have their beliefs, and they have this increasing paranoia, but they don't actually get presented with real evidence. And there is a way to play this story from the writer's point of view and from the director's point of view. The story could be played with us not knowing also, is there a witch, until, you know, the end. That's one way to do this story. It's the way that perhaps Ari Aster might have done the story. You know, the writer of Hereditary kind of has a bit of that structuring where we slowly start to realize what the true situation is. That's not what Eggers has chosen to do. And it's worth thinking about this and whether you agree with this decision or not. Do you think what one of the things that he's done here, right, is because very quickly after the baby is taken, we see the audience, not the characters, but the audience sees what took the baby. We see not just what the witch carrying the child to the woods. We then, you know, see the witch murder the child. We see her perform this, you know, ritual by which she's able to gain flight and power and so on. So we very early on, it's established for us, the audience, there is a real witch. These people aren't just superstitious. There are real witches in this story world. The child is dead. It cannot come back. They will never find it, and so on and so forth. In narrative terms, this is what's called dramatic irony, where the audience knows a thing that the characters don't know. But it's worth keeping this in mind. We now know something that the characters don't know. The witch is real. But we could imagine a version of the story where we don't know that, and there isn't a dramatic irony scenario, and we too wonder, well, what happened to the child? Is there a witch, or is it just paranoia? Until it's determined by the end what is the true state of things, we could also be questioning this in the dark about it. And it's worth doing a bit of a thought experiment and for you yourself to think about, what if you just took those early scenes out of the story? How would that change how we look at the story, to not have that dramatic irony and have the audience in this position where they don't have this additional information that the characters don't have? So it's always nice to do thought experiments like that from a writer's point of view. Like, this is where, again, influence really helps. If you can think about the story you're trying to write, if you can find other stories that are sort of in the wheelhouse of that domain, and you can start to think a bit about, okay, when I look at those other comparable stories, what if they were different? You know, what if I were to make a story like that, but, you know, in my story, we don't know, is the witch real? And, you know, maybe you decide you don't like that, and Eggers, you know, way is better. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just, you know, this moment in the film is not necessarily a flaw of the film. I'm not trying to suggest that. It's just, the point is that it makes for a very different film. It's a very different story when we have this situation of dramatic irony, and we know from very, very early that witches are real. That completely colors how we watch the rest of this film. And we know something that the other characters don't know. And we don't know, and we know how to view their paranoia and their attitudes and their suspicions in a way where we may not know everything. Again, we don't know, has the witch appeared to somebody else and made a pact with them prior to this point, but we do know there is a witch. And if we remove that scene, again, it's always worth as a writer just wondering, what if you took a scene out? What impact might it have on the rest of the story? It's a very good thought experiment to do, and I would ask you to kind of consider that with the witch. You know, do you think it would be a better or worse film to have that, to remove the dramatic irony and remove that situation? The other thing that's, I think, very interesting about the witch, if we just, you know, fast forward to the ending here, we have, you know, this very brutal ending in the sense that everybody dies other than Thomason, and then Thomason herself makes a pact with the devil and, you know, effectively, and becomes a witch. And we see, you know, her, the scene where the end where she joins the coven. Now, on one hand, this is a very, you know, much a downer ending in the sense that, you know, here's this poor girl has suffered so much, and it ends with her losing, you know, her soul being damned forever. And, you know, utterly being, and herself becoming a monster, herself becoming a witch. But what I think is really interesting is that if we actually look at the story from Thomason's point of view, and Thomason very much is our main character in many respects, she emerges sort of as the main character. You know, it sort of seems like we're focused on the father, William. And then over time, Thomason starts to emerge as the main figure here. But in many ways, for Thomason, although she is, you know, being damned, from the modern point of view, it's almost a happy ending. She's escaped her oppressive situation. She's found the freedom and power that is possible as a woman in this time to enjoy. You know, it's really, she's escaped her imprisonment in the social cultural structure, and she's found freedom by becoming the monster. You know, the monstrous power is the power to transgress, the power to break rules and cross boundaries. So, you know, she gets the things that she has wanted, and she gets a new family, a better family, you could argue, the family of witches. Now, if you can put aside that this is a satanic family of damnation, you know, put aside that, you know, morality, good and evil aspect a little bit, from the point of view of the more modern person who may not believe in witches, right? And doesn't necessarily share these religious beliefs, even if you're religious, you may not, you know, you likely don't believe in witches. And you certainly don't believe in these kinds of witches, right? So from that kind of more modern perspective, in many respects, this is an empowering journey for Thomason. She slowly, through the course of things, begins to realize that she doesn't actually have the love of her family. She doesn't even arguably have the love of God, you know, but she has a place and a home, you know, made for her. Unfortunately for her, it's, you know, the satanic nightmare. So there's a lot of different ways to look at the witch. I think in that respect, it's a very interesting, ambiguous ending, even though on one hand, she's literally being damned. There's a certain weird freedom in a family that she's found. Like, she's finally getting the things that she really wants, you know, people who accept her and don't, you know, just sort of crush her dreams. But again, there's that interesting double-edgedness of that in order to get this, she's had to give up everything that truly matters in the sense of, you know, giving up her humanity, becoming a monster, making a pact with the devil, and so on. It's a really interesting development for that character. It's a really interesting place for them to end up in a very ambiguous ending, while at the same time, we know exactly what's happened. There's an ambiguity to it, thematically speaking, because of the disconnect between sort of how a modern audience would look at this film and how and that character's progression, and how, of course, you know, a person in the period would maybe be looking at the situation. And at the same time, there's a really interesting way in which he's really grounded a supernatural fantasy horror in research. Your real world, nonfiction, court transcripts, you know, you can't get much more grounded than you do in The Witch, which is, of course, at the same time, the heights of supernatural, fantastical horror. So really interesting set of things that Eggers is doing as a writer, in addition to, you know, more specific things like having a really interesting way of approaching dialogue, getting it kind of more attuned for the time period and so on. Really interesting things he's doing on that smaller level of actually writing the scene and crafting dialogue and so on. But I think The Witch is most interesting on these big meta levels where we're looking at the premise and the plot and how kind of one thing leads into another, and how these characters and their dynamics start to develop and shift and change.